Yep, 622. This is 1320 WILS. Our schools are corrupt. That's what my next guest says. Lance Azumi is right here on WILS. He's the, he's the senior director of the Center for Education at the Pacific Research Institute. And his new book is The Corrupt Classroom: Bias, Indoctrination, Violence, and Social Engineering Show Why America Needs School Choice. Lance, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks a lot, Michael. It's terrific to be on your show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no. When you talk about the corrupt classroom, is that K through 12 or college or what is that?
We're talking about K through 12, Michael. I mean, there's a lot, of course, going on in college, and I think you know a lot of your listeners probably have seen videos of all the craziness going on at a lot of college campuses. But really, that all starts in K-12, and a lot of those kids who are doing some of those crazy things in higher education, I have been instructed, in politicized materials, politicized teaching in the lower grades, and, it's unsurprising what happens when they get to college.
When you talk about bias, what kind of bias occurs in K-12?
Well, I mean, it can be take many forms. I mean, for example, it can be outright political proselytizing. In my book, I have like a whole long laundry list of different examples in this last presidential election where teachers were making defamatory remarks about Donald Trump. For example, in North Carolina, an English teacher, made students compare speeches by Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler.
Right, but don't teachers usually get in trouble when they do that kind of thing?
They do get in trouble, sometimes. Other times, for example, in Berkeley, when you see those riots going on out there, actually one of the leaders of the rioters is actually a public school teacher in the Berkeley Middle School, Martin Luther King Middle School in Berkeley. Mm-hmm. And even though parents are up in arms over her participation and instigating of all this violence in the city, the Berkeley School District has basically taken no action against her because, interestingly enough, the mayor is also part of that leftist organization that she heads.
So are you saying teachers are generally, are they just liberal and so that's how they're indoctrinating students? Is that what's happening?
Well, I think that what happens, and I'm not saying that all teachers are liberal, but certainly when it comes to the people who are doing this proselytizing, you don't hear about people who are proselytizing on behalf, for example, of Donald Trump. I mean, a lot of teachers, unfortunately, what happens, and I've done other studies on teacher education in their training programs, which are all very tilted towards the left liberal side of the spectrum. So it's unsurprising that a lot of teachers go into their jobs with that type of mindset and then pass it on to their students.
Right. Talking to Lance Azumi, his new book is The Corrupt Classroom. Although, from what I remember in high school, it was mostly just you were taught the basic lesson. There wasn't a lot of discourse beyond the curriculum. How much more of that is really happening today?
Well, that's one of the issues, too, that I bring up in the book, Michael, is the fact that even when you supposedly teach to the curriculum, you have to then ask, well, what is the curriculum like? And I go into, for example, in my book, how social studies curriculum, and I use an example here in California of our curriculum guidelines, which are very tilted, again, towards the left. And, for example, in the section on the Cold War and communism, never make mention of the fact that, tens of millions of people were killed under communism in the Soviet Union and communist China and all the other communist nations, throughout that century.
Hmm. And so why would they leave that out?
Well, again, that's a very good question. Why would you leave out a huge, massive, important fact that students really need to know in order to be able to make this knowledgeable judgments in a complex world? Why would you never tell them that 100 million people were killed in the 20th century by communism? Well, I think it goes back to the fact that when you look at the discussion of the Cold War in the curriculum, it's really viewed as a competition between the United States and the Soviet Union and other communist nations, not in moral terms.
Now, you mentioned violence also. How does that go into the rest of the problem in our schools?
Well, there's a crime epidemic going on throughout this country. The last federal statistics that came out showed that there were more than 750,000 violent crimes that were committed on school campuses throughout the United States, and that 65% of public schools report one or more incidents of violence on their campuses. And what that ends up doing is that you have disruptive students who are basically taking over many schools. In fact, in St. Paul, Minnesota, there was so much violence that the city prosecutor said that that there was a public health crisis. because of it.
See, because we've heard from people on the other side talking about this zero-tolerance approach, how damaging that can be to in terms of just expelling students for small infractions. How does that sit with you?
Well, you know, certainly they can talk about that, but they don't address the flip side of that same coin, is that if you leave that disruptive student in a class, the research that we cite in this book, The Corrupt Classroom, shows that one disruptive student left in a classroom ends up bringing down the learning achievement in math and English of all the rest of the students in that classroom. Mm. So, you know, there is a consequence to leaving disruptive, misbehaving students in classes.
And you believe that charter schools are the solution then? Is that it?
Well, I think that what parents should have is that if they're faced with, a school or class where you know their kids are being preached to on politics, or whether they're unsafe, or any of these other issues that I bring up in this book, they should have a choice. Whether it's a charter school, whether it's through an education savings account or a voucher to a private institution, they should have the ability to have an exit ticket so that they're not trapped in going to the same school where perhaps their child is, you know, in danger of being beaten up or worse.
Well, that I totally agree with on that. But do you think there's any less indoctrination happening in charters than our public schools?
There's certainly, you know, in some of the charters, there are, people who have, strong opinions. But again, you know, because they're charters, you know, they actually live or die on the fact, you know, whether they're performing or not. And I think, unfortunately, with the regular public schools, most of the time, you know, you can end up proselytizing in classrooms, or you could, do these other things that I mentioned, and, nothing really happens. You know, you could have, you know, lots of misbehaving or students that are having a negative impact on fellow students, and yet, you know, nothing happens to the teachers or to the administrators.
Well, as long as the teachers are even intimidated, I believe. Lance Azumi, the book is The Corrupt Classroom. Where can people find your book, Lance?
They can find it at Amazon.com. So, it's available right now.
There it is, The Corrupt Classroom, Lance Azumi with the Pacific Research Institute. Right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you very much, Lance.
Thanks very much, Michael. Glad to be on your show.
Yep. When we come back, 50 years ago this weekend, the Detroit riots occurred, really changed the city forever, and really had an impact on the state as a whole. We'll talk about how that began, why it began, and that is next here on 1320 WILS.